Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company. Our organic yogurt business supports 200,000 acres of organic family farms. So we're proud to support thoughtful programming like Living on Earth, and hope you will too. Donate at loe.org.
Well, Keystone XL is actually the second pipeline oil producers in Canada want built. The first, Keystone 1, went into service in 2010. Since then, the 2,100-mile-long pipeline has suffered a dozen leaks. Most of them are small, a few gallons, but last May, a valve failed in North Dakota, spilling 21,000 gallons. The year before in Michigan, a different oil pipeline ruptured, sending 800,000 gallons of oil into the Kalamazoo River. Crisscrossing the nation is a huge network of pipelines. Most carry natural gas. About a third of 1 million miles are huge transmission pipes carrying gas under high pressure. Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood has said, "Improving the safety of pipelines is the first thing that I think of in the morning and the last that keeps me up at night." In September 2010, the nation got a wake-up call. A pipeline exploded in the San Francisco suburb of San Bruno. 8 people died. 38 homes were destroyed.
It sounded like a jet, almost, like a giant roar, and then the biggest boom I've ever heard in my life.
But it was a high-pressure natural gas line that ruptured, caused the explosion, and then fueled the spectacular blaze. The local utility company, Pacific Gas and Electric, says they will be accountable if it's determined they were at fault.
PG&E, owner of the pipeline, has accepted responsibility for the disaster, but investigative blogger Frank Gallagher says it's not an isolated case. Frank, welcome to Living on Earth.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about the San Bruno accident. What happened?
Faulty valves, lack of shutoff valves. That was the cause of the explosion. But at the end of the day, it was discovered that these pipelines had been uninspected for years and that PG&E, in fact, didn't have any of the records pertaining to any of the pipelines. They couldn't even tell you exactly where they were or when the last time was that they looked at them.
Reading your online blog, naturalgaswatch.org, suggests very strongly that this is not an isolated case.
Oh, absolutely not. There are major pipeline incidents all over the country with astonishing regularity. I mean, following San Bruno, you had a major explosion in Philadelphia that killed one person. You had Allentown, which killed 6 people, I believe. Just first week of January, you had a major explosion in Kentucky, which was the 4th major explosion in 10 years in Kentucky. I mean, these things occur with jaw-dropping regularity.
We have something like 250,000 miles of natural gas transmission lines throughout this country. It's a huge network.
It is, and it's expanding every day. I mean, with the discovery of the Marcellus shale gas play, the goal now of these companies is to get that gas to market as quickly as possible. And the way to do that is to expand the transmission system. So they're building pipelines at an incredible pace.
They want to build a pipeline that's going to go through Jersey City, Bayonne, New Jersey, Staten Island, and then come up in Manhattan.
Under the Hudson, right into lower Manhattan, just blocks away from where the World Trade Center was.
The mayor of Jersey City, which is the second largest city in New Jersey, says, "No way, Jose."
He does, but unfortunately, it's out of his hands. At the end of the day, the decision rests with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC. They have final approval.
So what are the concerns?
Well, the concerns are very real. The concerns are that this thing could explode. I mean, if you look at Spectra Energy, their safety record got some spots on it.
Spectra is the company that wants to build this.
Spectra Energy is the company that wants to build this. And the notion of bringing a 42-inch high-pressure natural gas pipeline into downtown Manhattan boggles the mind. It's not a question of if something happens. It's a question of when.
What's the pressure of these pipelines?
Anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200 PSI, pounds per square inch, which is enormous high pressure.
Spectrum says this is going to be the safest pipeline in the United States. They say we've got these robots which could detect and fill leaks, that we've got these emergency valves, and you're smiling.
Yes, of course I am, because that is what the pipeline companies say every time they want to build a pipeline. And I would point you to the Millennium Pipeline in New York State, the Southern Tier. This thing was built 2 years ago to pipe shale gas directly off the Marcellus shale play into New York City. 2 years old. This pipeline was just shut down by the feds, the Pipeline Hazardous Materials and Safety Administration, because of defective welds. And these were welds that were identified as defective before they went into the ground. One day, you know, an inspector was walking by and saw bubbles coming out of a creek, which is indicative of a leak. And the feds came in, went through all the paperwork, looked at the leaks, and said, this is an accident waiting to happen. Shut this thing down right now and come up with a plan to fix this, or we'll shut it down for you.
The Congress recently passed new federal regulations punishing companies that violate the law, doubling the fines.
Right. From what? $100,000 to $200,000? You know, a $200,000 fine, $1 million fine is not going to bankrupt these companies. The fact is, there, as you said, are, what, 350,000 miles of transmission lines throughout this country, expanding at a rapid pace. And the federal agencies that are charged with overseeing this, you know, like every other federal agency, are underfunded, understaffed, overworked. There is absolutely no way that a couple of dozen inspectors that are assigned to these pipelines can keep up.
This bill that recently passed was considered a jobs bill, and it increases the number of inspectors from 124 to 134.
Right. It adds, what, 10 inspectors? You know, so the notion that 10 inspectors are going to be able to adequately police pipelines is absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
Natural gas. We've got an abundance of it. It's cheap. It burns clean. It's considered a bridge fuel until we can get to renewable resources.
Right, right. Well, it's cheap depending on what you consider cheap. If you're talking strictly dollars and cents, you can maybe make a case that it's cheap. If you want to add in all the other costs, the societal costs that occur and that have to be paid for getting this gas out of the ground and into market, it becomes extraordinarily expensive because shale gas over and above traditional gas has a carbon cost of getting it from the wellhead to market that puts it, if Cornell research is to be believed, makes it more carbon intensive than coal. We will put more carbon into the air extracting this natural gas than you would if you just went and burned coal, because this stuff needs truck after truck after truck to get it out into market. I mean, you have water that has to be trucked in, injected, then removed, trucked out. For example, there are days in Wyoming where a rural Wyoming, this is farm country, cows, ranchers, have worse air quality than Los Angeles.
Because?
Because of natural gas drilling.
Natural gas is methane.
Absolutely.
Methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas.
It's, if depending on who you talk to, it's anywhere from 20 to 30 times more damaging than carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. And they're venting the stuff off freely. You know, if you consider all those costs, then suddenly natural gas becomes not so cheap.
Frank Gallagher's investigative blog is called naturalgaswatch.org. Frank Gallagher, thank you very much for coming in.
My pleasure.
Just ahead, herbicides used on highways might be harmful to your health. Keep listening to Living on Earth.